In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After Jesus Christ came down from the mountain where he was transfigured, before Peter and James and John, he found the other nine apostles with a crowd of people led by the Pharisees. And they were being questioned. The apostles were being questioned. And Jesus, having just come, asked them what was the question, what was happening. And a voice from the crowd spoke out and said, "I have brought my son who is suffering from a dumb spirit, and your disciples could not heal him." That's the background. That's the context. And the sense in the crowd was there was something wrong with the apostles, because unlike Christ, they could not perform this healing. And Jesus' response was immediate and significant. He cried out, "How long will I be with you, you faithless generation?" He wasn't talking about the apostles. He was talking about the Pharisees and the people in the crowd. "How long will I be with you?" The Blessed Theophylact says that with these words, Christ is expressing how tired he is, what pain and agony it causes him to be among the faithless. He is already suffering torture, the power of death that will be destroyed when he is crucified. That presence of sin and suffering and death in the world, he is experiencing by way of the faithlessness of the crowd. Now, sometimes Jesus does simply heal. Sometimes he doesn't require the participation of faith on the part of those that he heals. Usually he does. When he doesn't, there's usually a reason. The person is dead, or the person is so controlled by demons that they are unavailable, and he may give a healing blessing that brings that person out from the control of those demons, that stops their constant thrashing of that person in their mind and their heart, so that they are not even conscious of the fact that he is present and who he is. But ordinarily, there is both, on the one hand, the one who has the power to heal, the authority over demons, whether it's Christ or whether it's his apostles. And on the other hand, there are those who have come to be healed. And if they have come to be healed by a magician, and they have no more faith in Christ or the apostles than any other possible remedy that they might try, "Let me try this. Maybe this one has power to heal me." And there is no faith in God. There is no abandonment of the world. Because there is no faith in God, there is no faith in Christ without abandonment of faith in the world. If our faith is in the world and we go from one place to another in the world looking for healing, then we're not searching for God. We're not searching for Christ. We're not abandoning the world. It is the same today. We have been given everything. God came into the world. He destroyed the power of death. He arose and brought the life of the Father through himself, the Son incarnate, into our human bodies. He has brought us into communion with the Father through himself. We have been given everything. All that is necessary is for us to abandon the will that we depend on in ourselves instead of God. That's faith. That's belief. We do have to participate. God could have, from the heavens, gave out a blessing without becoming incarnate, without sharing our lives, and said, from now on there will be no more freedom. From now on there will be no more participation in anything that is good and true and beautiful and noble. No one will go to hell. Everyone will be saved from hell. You all will be in bondage to me. That wouldn't be God. That would be the voice of the enemy of God. God comes into the world in such a way that our participation enables him to save us and to give us freedom to live our lives. Sometimes someone comes to the Orthodox faith and discovers what Orthodox are doing in their spiritual lives. They find out about Great Lent, and they say, this happens once in a while, I'm a vegan. Great Lent doesn't mean anything to me. You fast from meat and you fast from dairy. That's how I live. How can I participate in Great Lent? Well, we could ask members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We could ask members of Narcotics Anonymous. We could ask members of Pornography Anonymous, PA. We could ask members of FA, Food Anonymous, people who are addicted to food, and that would bring us back to fasting. It all has to do with fasting from our addictions, or as Father Peter, St. Mary of Egypt, would say in his column that he used to write for the Dawn, our afflictions and our addictions, the things that afflict our efforts to live as we ought to live, to live a Christ-like life. There are things that afflict those efforts of ours because we love our will more than we love God, more than we love freedom from those addictions. We could ask them. It's not all about food. It's all about preferring our will more than God and freedom, freedom from bondage to the world. I always say myself, I don't have any trouble fasting. And I could be a member of FA. But I don't have any trouble fasting. It's changing my life that I have difficulty with. And we can learn something maybe from those 12-step programs. If you're in one of those programs, the first thing you do is admit that you have no control over whatever it is you're addicted to. And if we are addicted to following our own will and trying to be orthodox simply by being pious when we come to confession, or pious when we come to the divine liturgy, and we express a piety that is emotional, sincere, but essentially emotional, essentially from the mouth and from the passions. Good grief, we get to have another passion. A passionate piety. We can add that to the list of our passions. Is that faith? Is that belief in Christ? Is that abandonment of the world? Is it abandonment of the preference for our own will? Or is it simply one more thing on the list where our will is going to be done, because now I have a passionate faith. And sometimes it even builds me up and makes me feel spiritual, even though I haven't abandoned the world, even though I haven't questioned the primacy of my own will. Why could your disciples not heal this man? The Pharisees wanted to know. For the Pharisees, it's always somebody else's fault. If there's no healing, it's Christ's fault. If there's no healing, it's the apostles' fault. If there's no healing, it's the priest's fault. But without faith, God will not save us. Without belief in him, without abandonment of the world, without that first of the Beatitudes that we heard of, humility, abandonment of the preference for our own will, there will be no healing. That is the price of admission to the Christian faith. Humility, not pride. Pharisaism won't work. It's not somebody else's fault. I am the first of sinners, always. As we fast from bondage to our spiritual afflictions and our addictions, we are preparing for the day of freedom from those afflictions and those addictions. That is what Pascha is all about. That is what the conquest of death by Christ is all about. We will be freed from those afflictions and addictions that are part of the presence of death in the world and our egoistical response to their presence in the world. We will be freed of those afflictions and addictions. Just like when I go to visit someone who is in jail because of drugs or alcohol, they always have a whole lot of things to tell me. And I always try to tell them the same thing. The only thing that matters is what you do when the door is open and you go out into the world again. And it's the same thing with the great Lenten effort that we are all making together. We are fasting, but what really matters is what we do after Pascha comes. Do we return from this effort in our spiritual cell of Lent? Do we leave that cell and return out into the world to be the same as we were before? Not to have a changed life, but still to be addicted to food and the good things of the world, or alcohol, or drugs, or pornography, or whatever it happens to be. Now, it takes effort now. God will not come and perform a miracle on us without our participation. That wouldn't be freedom. We would remain bound, but in a new and terrible way. But we can fast. And there is a prayer that has come to me that I would like to try to say, a prayer that goes beyond the end of the Great Lent, the end of Holy Week, and makes an effort to extend Pascha into the rest of my life. O Lord God, I know I can do this in you. Let me fast from death forever. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.